from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Richard Harvey is a medical missionary. A medical missionary is a doctor who goes to another country and offers free medical help as a part of a Christian missionary effort. Well, Richard Harvey tells this story. It's a true story, though. It's become kind of an email legend story, and it gets messed up sometimes in the telling, but it's a true story. It's about when Richard Harvey was a freshman in medical school, and something happened to him that happened with every freshman class to go through this particular university. It happened in his chemistry lab. The professor of this chemistry lab was named Dr. Lee. Now, Dr. Lee had quite a reputation in this university, and he had that reputation because every year he gave the same lecture, which became known as the prayer lecture. Dr. Lee would wait until the last class before Thanksgiving break, and all the freshmen would be there in a huge lecture hall that held like 500 students, and Dr. Lee had delivered this lecture so many years in a row that it had become famous, and people other than students would come to hear it. Now, the prayer lecture went like this. Dr. Lee would say, "Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we are, the class period before everyone goes home for Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving is this holiday that we Americans have every year where people go home and consume vast amounts of food. And before they do, they will give thanks to this person they call the Creator. And many of them will have special services in their churches, and they will do this thing called praying." And then Dr. Lee would say, "By the way, is there anyone here who still believes in this thing called prayer? Because if there is, I have an experiment that I would like to conduct today." And Richard Harvey explains that at that point, Dr. Lee would hold up a glass flask. And Dr. Lee would say, "You students are intelligent people. You can see this flask is made of glass and the floor is made of concrete. Now, if there's anyone in this class who still believes in prayer, I would like to hold this glass flask up, drop it, and let it fall to the floor. But before I drop it, I would like you to pray that it won't break. You can pray. You can have your friends pray. You can have your preacher come in to pray. Anyone you want can pray, but nothing anyone does will keep that flask from breaking." Richard Harvey says, "When I was a freshman, I went through that lecture, but I didn't say a word because I was so intimidated." And he says, "By the time I was a senior, Dr. Lee had given this lecture at least 15 years in a row. And everyone was so intimidated that no one ever challenged him. But," he says, "when I was a senior, one fall afternoon early in the semester, there was a knock on the door, and I opened it, and there was a student standing there who asked, 'Are you Richard Harvey?' I said, 'Yes.' He asked, 'Are you a Christian?' I said, 'Yeah.' He asked, 'Richard, do you believe in prayer?' Well, 'Yeah.' So this young man came in and explained," Richard says, that he was a freshman chemistry major and that he was in Dr. Lee's class, and that since the day he arrived on campus, he had heard about this prayer lecture the period before Thanksgiving. And he said, "God has just laid it on my heart to challenge Dr. Lee." He said, "I'm going to pray that the flask won't break." And he added, "I've been asking around trying to find the other Christians on campus to ask them if they would join me in praying. Would you start praying for me to have the courage to stand up to him and pray that the flask won't break?" Harvey agreed, but he said, "I was really worried about this kid." Well, finally, November rolls around, and the time came for Dr. Lee's prayer lecture. And Harvey said, I had a class at that time, but I skipped my class because I had to see what would happen. So I went, and the room was jam-packed with people, and Dr. Lee came in and stood before all these people, started his speech. "Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we are in the week leading up to the great holiday of Thanksgiving, and many of us will go home and give thanks to this being we call the Creator, and we'll do this thing called prayer." And they said, "By the way, is there anyone in this lecture hall who still believes in prayer. Now let's stop the story, because I wonder, what would you do in a situation like that? If you were there in that lecture hall at that moment, what would you do? I think how we answer that question, what we would do in that situation, says quite a lot about what we do or don't believe about prayer. So, what do you believe about prayer? I realize some of you are new to all this. You're not sure what you believe. It's one of the great things about our church, about Verve. We get lots of people who are not Christians, not believers, but are like, I'm curious and I'm investigating. That's awesome. We're a safe place where you can investigate faith. But for those of us who are not so new, what do you believe about prayer? Do you believe that there are things that happen just because someone prayed for it to happen? Does God really hear prayers? And are there things that happen, maybe things that could change the course of a human life or of human history, that happened just because someone prayed? Or is there anything that doesn't happen that would have happened if only someone had prayed? We're in a series called Saved by the Bell. And the idea is that sometimes we give up on things too soon. It might be ourselves, our marriage, God. And I wonder if maybe some of us have given up on prayer. Maybe you never believed in it in the first place. Or you did. But then maybe you prayed for something and it didn't happen. Or you had a professor like Dr. Lee who ridiculed your faith in the supernatural. And you kind of gave up on prayer. Maybe you gave up too soon. Why? Two reasons. One, we think prayer doesn't work if we don't get what we want, but that's not the purpose of prayer. Prayer is not just about asking God for things. God, hey, I want that new job and that new car. And I'd like a new car driven by a new dog maybe, and a new house, and I want to win on Price is Right. And no, prayer is not just asking God for things. Prayer is about our relationship with God. It's about intimacy with Him. If I told you, man, I've been married for 28 years, and I talk to my wife and she talks to me. We always have these conversations. I share my heart with her. She shares her heart with me, but sometimes she doesn't give me what I want, so I'm going to stop talking to her. Well, no. Talking to my wife is not about getting things from her. I mean, yeah, that sometimes happens, but that's not what it's about. It's about relationship, about intimacy, about love. And so is prayer. Prayer is talking to God. It's communication. Relationships are based on communication. You talk, you share your heart with God, you listen. And God might just share His heart with you. And your intimacy with Him grows. Your love grows. And you can't give up on that. So two reasons not to give up on prayer. One, we think prayer doesn't work if we don't get what we want. But that's not the purpose of prayer. Second, prayer often works. And we do get what we want. Now, I asked you a minute ago, do you believe that there are things that happen just because someone prayed to God for it to happen? Does God really hear our prayers? And are there things that happen, maybe things that change the course of a human life or of human history, that happen just because someone prayed? Or is there anything that doesn't happen that would have happened if someone had just prayed? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. It says, yes, yes, and yes. God does hear our prayers. God answers prayers. Human lives are changed because of prayer. The course of human history has been and will be changed because of prayer. And things happen only because people prayed. And there are things that don't happen because someone didn't pray. I want to give you just kind of a real quick whirlwind tour. This is a whirlwind right here. Tour of a few examples of prayers that change things in the Bible. Just a few examples. And you might not be familiar with these stories. That's okay. Maybe this will inspire you to check some of them out. You ready? Okay. So there's a man in the Old Testament named Abraham. Abraham and his wife didn't have a child. That's not unusual, but Abraham and his wife were very old. In fact, Abraham had hit 100. He had the nothing bunk cake with 100 candles on it, but he still didn't have a child. But he prayed. He prayed, and God gave Abraham and his wife a son when Abraham was over 100 years old. And it was because Abraham had faith in God, and he prayed. Later in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel had become slaves in Egypt. Do you know how they got out? They cried out to God. And God spoke to a man named Moses and told them that he had heard the people's cries and it was time for Moses to lead them out of Egypt. When they left Egypt, it was called the Exodus. And the whole Exodus was a result of prayer. As the Israelites left Egypt, they were chased by the armies of Egypt. And they reach a point where they have this ginormous body of water in front of them. That's the word the Bible uses to describe the water. It was ginormous. It's the Red Sea, right? And the Egyptian armies are bearing down behind them. And the Israelites yell at Moses, "You brought us out here and now we're stuck." I don't know that that was their accent. But guess what Moses did? Did he pray? He prayed. He stood at the Red Sea and he prayed. And God made the wind blow and the Red Sea parted. And the Israeli people walked through on dry land. And it was all because Moses prayed. Later, those same Israelites are out in the desert, and there's only one source of water, but the water is bad, and when the people drink it, they get sick and they die. So they go to Moses, and they're like, "What are we going to do, Moses? We need water, Moses, Moses, water." And guess what Moses does? Yeah, he prays, and God told him to cut this tree down and throw it in the water, and the water would all become good, and he did it, and it worked, and it was all because he prayed. Later in the Old Testament, there's a guy named Elijah. He was a prophet of God, and he was up on a place called Mount Carmel in a challenge against 450 prophets of Baal, a false god people had made up. And the challenge is to see who serves the true God. So Elijah says, "Let's both do something to our God to find out whose is real." What do you think Elijah proposed they do? Pray. And then they do this challenge. Each built an altar and put an animal sacrifice on it and prayed to their God that he would miraculously burn it up. The 450 prophets of Baal prayed to their God all day long. And do you want to know what happened to their sacrifice? Nothing, nada. And then in the evening, as the sun was going down, Elijah approaches his sacrifice and he douses it with water. He just pours it on, making it obviously impossible for it to set on fire. And then guess what he did? Yeah, he prayed. And guess what God did? He sent fire from heaven and burned the sacrifice up. And it was all because Elijah prayed. Later, Elijah meets this widow who becomes a good friend of his. One day, that widow's son got sick. He came in from working in the field, and he said, "Mama, my head, and he falls down and dies. And the widow cries to Elijah, you've got to help my son. And Elijah comes to the room where that boy was, and guess what Elijah did? He prayed. Guess what God did? He raised the boy up from the dead, and it was all because Elijah prayed. And it just goes on and on and on and on, story after story. And they're all true. They really happened all through the Old Testament. Then you get into the New Testament, the part of the Bible after Jesus comes. Same thing. God keeps answering prayers in miraculous ways. You know what? It's still the same today. It's still the same. So many of you have seen that. You've experienced that. And I have so many times. I have all kinds of crazy examples. I could go all day, but a couple, I used to work at a church in Virginia, and I had a guy in my small group named Kevin who was in the reserves. And he came to group one night and told us that his reserve unit was going to be called up and have to go to the Middle East. And he'd have to be gone for a long time. And he really didn't want to go, and his wife really didn't want him to go. So we prayed. We prayed to God that somehow, God, if it's your will, if it's possible, God, have him not go. Well, the next week, his troop lines up, and this guy starts calling off the names of everyone who has to go. He reads off name after name after name, and as he did, each person walks away, and finally, he gets done reading off his list, and Kevin is standing there all by himself. Kevin said, excuse me, sir, my name wasn't called. Guy reads through the list again and says, yeah, it's not on here. You're not going. Kevin said, why? Why am I the only one in our unit not going? Guy said, I have no idea. My wife and I were in another group in Virginia, and a lady named Natalie was in it. And one day, Natalie came to group and told us that she had cancer. She had just discovered it, like, that day. The doctors had. She had been feeling sick, and then she went in, and they found it late, and it already spread to several spots in her body. But we started praying for her. Like, we had group nights where we just took the entire hour and a half and just prayed the whole time. We had some people in the group who committed to fasting and praying for her, but it didn't seem to help. The cancer just kept getting worse, but we just kept praying. So finally, a few months later, they schedule a surgery to try to remove, honestly, I don't know if it was some or all of the cancerous tumors. And the day before the surgery, she goes in to get x-rayed. And I know that's not what they call it, but whatever it is, where they determine where the tumors are and how far they've spread and, you know, prepared it to remove them the next day. But when they do the x-ray, it shows no cancer. They did it again, no cancer. The doctors couldn't explain it. They're like, what happened here? Natalie said, how would I? She said, the only thing I know is my group's been praying. One of the doctors, who is not a Christian, said that he was going to write a report on the power of prayer and healing because there was absolutely no other way to explain what happened. God answers prayer. That's what the Bible says, and it's true. Listen to some of the things Jesus said about prayer. In Matthew chapter 7, he said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus said in Matthew 21, he said, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in my name. Jesus said in John 14, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. And then in John 15, he said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. And those promises from Jesus are incredible. Prayer makes things happen. It can change your life. It can change the world. So please don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on prayer. Now, it is true that sometimes God does not answer our prayers the way we want him to. Is that disappointing? Yes, it can be. Is it discouraging? It can be. But here's what I've decided. God loves me more than I love me. I'll say it for you. God loves you more than you love you. He knows things you don't know. And so I've decided I'm just always going to trust him. It's not always easy. When I don't get the answer I want, I'm tempted to give up on prayer just like you are. But I remember, God loves me more than I love me. God knows things I don't know. If the answer is no or not yet, there's a reason. And getting what I want isn't the purpose of prayer. That's not the purpose of it. It happens sometimes, but it's not the purpose. In fact, I found sometimes I grow closer to God when the answer to my prayer request is no. And I've also found God often does give me what I'm asking for. And that brings us back to the story I began with. So you remember Richard was telling about this chemistry lab, rooms packed full of people. Dr. Lee gets to the part where he says, by the way, is there anyone here who still believes in this thing called prayer? And that freshman, remember him? He was sitting right in the middle of the class. And Richard says he fixed his eyes on him to see what he's going to do. Is he really going to be the first ever to stand up to this professor? And he did. He raises his hand and he says, yes, Dr. Lee, I do. The class gasped. Dr. Lee said, well, isn't that interesting? Stand up, young man. Tell us your name. And the freshman stands up and he says his name. And Dr. Lee says, "Well, ladies and gentlemen, look at this. We have someone who still believes in prayer. Now, young man, let me explain this experiment I'm going to perform, and then we'll give you a chance to pray." He said, "I've got this glass flask right here, and the floor is concrete. I'm going to invite you to pray that the flask won't break, but nothing you can do will keep this flask from breaking. Do you understand the experiment?" The young man said, "Yes, I understand." Dr. Lee said, "So are you ready to pray?" "Well, Dr. Lee, I've been ready." And Dr. Lee said very sarcastically, "Well, let's all bow our heads and be very reverent because someone in the room is about to pray." And that freshman said, "Father, you know I've been praying about this since the beginning of the school year, and for your name's sake and for your glory's sake, I would like to ask you to keep that flask from breaking. In Jesus' name, amen." And then Dr. Lee held the flask out and he smiled and he said, "Are you ready?" And the young man said, "I've been ready." And Dr. Lee held the flask out, paused a moment for his dramatic effect, and dropped it. And as it fell, God drew it in and it went down and it hit the toe of Dr. Lee's shoe instead of the floor, and it rolled off the shoe, and it did not break. The class went nuts. They're cheering and yelling. They start ridiculing Dr. Lee. Dr. Lee told the class, "Leave the room now," clears the room, and never again did Dr. Lee give that prayer lecture. Richard Harvey says, "Man, I went home, and I fell on my knees, and I cried. I had sat through that lecture, but I didn't challenge Dr. Lee. I didn't say a word." And he says, in that moment, on his knees in his room, he cried out, "Oh God, help me to believe. Help me to live like I really believe in you, God. Help me to live like I really believe in you." And wouldn't it be great if we really lived like we really believed in God? If we became men and women of prayer? What might happen? What might God do through us? How might our lives be changed? And how might we change the world? I want to pray. Let's pray together that we become men and women of prayer. Let's pray. God, you make some big invitations and some big promises about prayer in the Bible. God, we know prayer is not just about getting what we want. It's about communicating with a God who loves us, in whom we trust, and with whom we have a relationship. God, would you help us to remember that is the purpose of prayer? But God, you also invite us to make requests. Would you give us the faith to make requests? God, would you turn us into men and women of prayer who believe in prayer in such a way that we would stand up to a bully like that? God, that story convicts me, but I want it to inspire me. Help us to not give up in prayer, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.